Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Wake Up to Purpose with your host, John Stanko. This program will help you find your purpose and, more importantly, how to make your purpose work for you. And now, here's John Stanko.
Hello out there in internet land. This is John Stanko, your host for Wake Up to Purpose. And purpose is the name of the game these days, at least in my world, because that's mostly what I talk about. As we were going on the air, I was texting somebody in Kansas who is incorporating her company that she has discovered around her life's purpose, and quite exciting. And then I've been, since our Tuesday show with Irene Marathi from Kenya, we've been talking back and forth, and she wrote me today that she's been invited to Australia by a Kenyan professor who listened to the show and who wants to connect with me. And so Irene was talking to me about something that I began to journal about that I haven't really talked a lot about, and that is just some way to pull people of purpose together. Not looking to start an organization, but at the same time, a loose-knit confederation of people and organizations and churches who have, I don't know, who have taken a purpose pledge, who have someplace identified with basic elements, not only of the purpose message, but steps to be purposeful and to help other people be purposeful. And so I've been using this time, and we're going to talk in a minute with the founder and the executive director of Africa Book Bags, and they've been doing the same thing. Is they got their website together, they've been tidying things up, and that's what I've been doing. I updated my contributions page on my website, purposequest.com. I have launched my ministry app, and so and that has kind of a ripple effect where you have to clean this up and that up. And I've been doing more with my Purpose Quest International Facebook page. Most of what I do is through my personal page. And this is like the throwing a rock in a pond, however, because when you do some of these things, it creates a ripple effect. Then you got to update this. Then you got to make this better. But my point is that there's something going on. Someone last night took umbrage with me because I said God has sent the church home to ponder what it means to be the church. Well, what he interpreted I was saying was that God sent the virus, and I wasn't saying that. I won't say that. God is not the author of evil. At the same time, I know God is using this time. And there's a mystery in that of what's God had to permit it. You know, there's bigger issues involved that he has not revealed to us. He has his own purposes, his own reason. But part of it is that it's just so fascinating to me that we have been sent home, and we have gas in our tanks, but no place to go, and clothes in our closet, and no place to go to get dressed up for. But the one thing we do have is social media. One thing we do have is technology. So therefore, I am assuming, I am concluding that God wants us to come face to face with this, understand the power of it, and learn how to utilize it more effectively in this season. I can't say I've seen all the conspiracy stuff out there, but I have touched enough of it to know and be reminded again of why I don't go there. It is draining. It is like a dog chasing its tail. If the dog gets it, so what? And the thing I guess I will say that confuses me with end time people who believe this is a fulfillment of the end time. If it is, why are you so upset? I mean, you should be helping it. You should invite the Antichrist to dinner. I mean, you know, but my point is, if this is unstoppable, if this has been predicted, if this is in the Bible, then we should be having a parade. We should be saying this is great. This means, but we're not. which tells me we're really confused about what we believe in the end time. And I've been saying that for many years before the pandemic, that I think a lot of the, I'll call them theories that are out there, and they are theories, are inadequate. I think they have fomented and promoted fear in the minds of people and confusion, and it's been a misrepresentation of the victorious nature of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. And so anyway, but if you, I'll tell you, you go there, and you're going to have a battle on your hands. Guess how I know? because I've been there. And so that's not a battle I want to take on. What I do want to do is bring together the people of purpose somehow. And I'm not saying I have to convene them, but I do want to touch all those people or within my sphere of influence, and have us unite and join together somehow around a commitment to be purposeful. And if these are the last days, and of course we're all, hey, I'm 70, I'm in my last days. I can't speak for all of you, but I'm there, and the clock is ticking. I look up on the scoreboard clock, and it's a little blurred. I can't see exactly what's on it, but I see that it's ticking down. And so I want to make the most of those minutes, and to leave a legacy of purpose is what I have been attempting to do and what I want to do with the remainder of my day. So it really is. This show is Wake Up to Purpose. The people wake up to the power of purpose that is in your life, the power of creativity, and the joy of God using you for a purpose that is greater than you really ever considered possible in your life. Well, as I said, we're going to have a great show in a few minutes. I'm going to bring one of our guests on. One of the problems with having a purely phone-based podcast or radio, blog radio, is that if you bring multiple people on, it's very difficult to have the dialogue you would have among one another if you were face-to-face. And even if you've listened to these shows, you'll hear me every once in a while step on somebody. I think they're done. They were just taking a breath. I interject with a question. They keep going. Then you get into the, you go ahead. No, you go ahead. No, go ahead. And so we're going to bring first in a few minutes Janet Handsome on, who is the founder and board member of Africa Book Bags. Then we're going to bring a little bit later in the show Joel Gray, who now serves as the executive director. But before we go there, we have an important piece of business to take care of. Our standard opening of any of my broadcasts, whether Facebook Live or radio, and that is the reading of Psalm 91. And this today, we've been reading a different version, and I've been doing this for 6 weeks, and we still haven't run out of versions. And so today we're going to read from the International Standard Version, the ISV. And this is what I found out about the International Standard Version, is a new English translation of the Bible, for which translation was complete and published electronically in 2011. So there are no paperback editions of this translation. It was expected in 2019. I couldn't find any place that it has been released. And so this is strictly a version that is online. And I see that the New Testament was released in 1998, and then the Complete Bible made available in 2011, and Release 2.0 is available in digital form, expected in 2019, but I haven't seen that is has come about. Now, most of the translations for Psalm 91 give a summary heading at the top. This one goes a little farther. This one declares that this psalm is a Davidic psalm written by King David. Now, most of the translations don't say that. I suspect that when I read it, I think it's David writing it. But the heading doesn't specifically say that. So, but they're stepping out, and they're saying it is a Davidic psalm. And the title of this particular version's summary of this psalm is God is My Refuge. So let me read this to you. The one who lives in the shelter of the Most High, who rests in the shadow of the Almighty, will say to the Lord, "You are my refuge, my fortress, and my God in whom I trust. He will surely deliver you from the hunter's snare and from the destructive plague. With his feathers he will cover you. Under his wings you will find safety. His truth is your shield and armor. You need not fear terror that stalks in the night, the arrow that flies in the day, plague that strikes in the darkness, or calamity that destroys at noon. If 1,000 fall at your side or 10,000 at your right hand, it will not overcome you. Only observe it with your eyes, and you will see how the wicked are paid back. Lord, you are my refuge. Because you chose the Most High as your dwelling place, no evil will fall upon you, and no affliction will approach your tent. For he will command his angels to protect you in all your ways. With their hands they will lift you up, so you will not trip over a stone. You will stomp on lions and snakes. You will trample young lions and serpents. Then it interjects in the interpreters another subheading. It says, the Lord speaks. Because he has focused his love on me, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. When he calls out to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in his distress. I will deliver him and I will honor him. I will satisfy him with long life. I will show him my deliverance. So there you have the ISV version of Psalm 91. As I've been saying, this was not a magic incantation, but it is a declaration of our faith and trust in the Lord, not just physically and medically, but financially as well, for we are in and may be heading for more difficult economic times. All right, without further ado, let me go ahead and bring our first guest on. This is Janet Handsome. Janet is a board member and the founder of Africa Book Bags. Janet, welcome to Wake Up to Purpose.
Thank you. Thank you. It's good to be here.
Yeah, it's good to have you. And first, let me ask, you and your family, the pandemic, everybody doing okay? Everybody sheltering in place well?
We are. I found it to be. I've actually cherished the time, and it really has been a wonderful time of reflection, prayer, and everything else. So I'm actually enjoying it.
Yeah. Now you have family down in the Nashville area. Anybody been impacted by the storms and the tornado down there?
No, they're in Knoxville, so they just got severe storms,
right.
But no tornadoes, so they're all okay.
Good. Well, Janet, just real briefly, give our listeners your background. You are retired, but tell us what you retired from.
I'm a retired RN. I worked for 46 years in various hospitals, nursing homes, insurance companies, and then my last job was at Shadyside doing case management, which would be discharge planning with the families of the patients and the patients themselves, setting up their home needs, setting up their, if they needed to go to a nursing home, et cetera. So I retired about 5.5 years ago.
Yeah. What are the medical professionals going through right now? You know, those who are on the front line,
It's really like they say it is. It's very difficult. I think the fact that the patients have to be alone with no family members, and they come in and they spiral downward quickly. The nurses are the only ones there to hold their hand while they're dying, and it's really affected them tremendously. I know that there's going to be quite a bit of PTSD when this is over, because they have seen more deaths than they probably ever had in their careers. And the fact that no family members could be there, they were the only ones, and they feel responsible in terms of helping that patient, you know, die peacefully, which has to be very, very difficult.
Yeah, and I would think even if they're not dying, to comfort them. You know, there's nobody to comfort them, so their mind would, you know, they hear noises and sounds and smells that they're not used to. Now, you know, this may be a silly question. As a medical professional, is there a part of you that thinks, man, I'd like to, you know, get back in there and help, or are you saying, I did my day?
No, I actually, I have said that a couple of times. In fact, I got an email that offered me to go to a hospital they were setting up not far away, and they were going to pay a huge amount of money for me to go back in. And I thought about it for a little while, and then I said no.
But you did think about it.
Yes, sure.
Yeah. All right. Well, we didn't have you on to talk about that. We want to talk about an organization called Africa Book Bags, and let's go ahead and start there. Tell our listeners a little bit about the genesis. So, what is Africa Book Bags, and where did it come from, and why was it founded?
Well, my first trip to Kenya was in 2012, and I had heard so much about the people that had gone before me, talking about the children and the orphans and the people themselves, just what a life-changing experience. So I really felt that God was leading me to go, and I had never really traveled that far in my life, but it was exciting to even think about that I could be there and see it. So I went in 2012, and it was just like everyone said, it's a life-changing experience. The children, the orphans, are just dear, dear children. The people that we've developed relationships with are also very close to my heart. I mean, they feel like family. And so after that, I came back, and I think when everybody comes back, they want to do something immediately. Like, what can I do? What can I send? You know, how can I do this? We have to help.
Mm-hmm.
And so talking to you and talking to others, Karen Bailey and I decided to start a nonprofit geared towards the educational needs of the children there, because after eighth grade, they really can't go on to secondary education unless they have books and uniforms and tuition. And Africa Book Bags was actually meant, what can you fit into a book bag? You know, you can fit food, clothing, you can fit money, you can fit food, you can fit anything into a book bag. So Africa Book Bags was born. We took a class taught by you regarding starting a nonprofit, and that was wonderful. And we did all the paperwork and sent everything in and got started. I proceeded to go back 4 years in a row to Kenya after that, after 2012, and it was just wonderful. We thought that we could raise money to help the children get educated, and then of course, you know, there's so many needs there, whether it be food or education or shoes or whatever it is. We wanted to help. At the same time, we came back and we thought, there's a lot of urban violence in the area, you know, a lot of gun violence. And I was really heavy-hearted for the youth, and just thinking about the difference between Kenya and here, and thought, well, maybe if we would send some youth to Kenya, they could see a third-world country. They could experience that, and then they could come back, and maybe they would be changed as well, and then they could possibly change their neighborhood or go on to do other things. But just to have that experience that would be life-changing for them, and being young, you know, the world was before them, and they could do anything. So we decided that we wanted to send youth over, that we would sponsor them to go over to Kenya and then see what happened when they got back. We sent two people over, Joel, and of course another young lady we sent over, and they both really had a wonderful experience. And so then when they came back, we decided that this would be a good thing to start sending youth over there. But of course it was time to, you know, kind of expand and do things. I mean, we didn't want to just send anybody over there. We wanted to develop a relationship with them as well and get to know them and their families and send them over and then come back and possibly change the area. So after Joel came back from Kenya, and he can tell you about it, but he was definitely touched by what he saw over there and what he experienced. And so going forward, we wanted to expand on this and wanted to do more. You just want to do more. I just, in my heart, I just want to do as much as I can while I can. And because I'm older than you are, I know that I have less years left than I have behind
Your
me.
Your clock is ticking too, yes.
It definitely is. But I want to do what I can while I can. But on the other hand, too, I would love to help grow Africa Book Bags into the next generation and have someone, you know, just run with it. And so that is what I want. You know, I would hope for that. And
So what else, and if you're just tuning in, we're talking to Janet Hansom, the founder and board member of an organization called Africa Book Bags, and it is one word, and it ends with a Z, and they did that for branding purposes and for website domain purposes. But so you've sponsored a couple of young people to go over. What other kind of things have you done to carry out in Kenya the mission of Africa Book Bags?
Well, we have done fundraising to give money to the various schools and orphanages to provide for the children whatever was needed, and there are different needs at different times, as you know, and so we've done fundraisers to do that. We've helped, we call it a scholarship, but sending youth over. You know, we would sponsor them a certain amount, and then they would have to raise a certain amount to go over there. And the relationships that we've developed over there, I think, have been so intense in such that you, when you come back home, you are still feeling like their family, like I said before. You feel like, you know, what are your needs? What do you need right now? You know, and then we come home and try to think about ways to get that to them, to help them, because the children need hope. Everyone needs hope, but the children over there definitely need hope. They need hope for a future that they may not even have. And so that means a lot to me to give a child some hope.
Yeah, and you've also, now you've taken over money,
yes.
But you've taken over book bags, haven't you?
Oh, yes, we have. Yes, we have. We've taken over book bags filled with, you know, educational materials, paper, pencils, those kinds of things. And we filled them up and we give them out. And the children have just loved them.
Yeah. Yeah, and the money you've given, you've really given to the ministries. You haven't given to the youth over there, but you have made a serious investment in some of the places over there, like Karen Academy and Dr. Stanko Academy. And you know, what's it like to, you know, you are there representing your own organization, and you take an envelope of $500 and you present it to one of these people that you know and love and have a relationship with? What's that like? What's it make you feel like?
Well, it makes me feel just honored to be able to do that. To the fact that here I am, 8,000 miles from home, and you know, people have donated money, and here I am giving you something that you desperately need, and I wish it could be more. But at the same time, it's just a feeling of giving. The feeling of giving is unlike any other feeling, I think. It makes you just feel so good, and so I'm so blessed to be able to have done this, I feel.
Yeah. Now, you went in February, we were there, and we went out to Dr. Stanko Academy one day, but you went back a second time, and you gave something else. Talk to us about your second day. What did you and Karen do?
We developed a campaign called A Mother's Touch, and we bought some folding rocking chairs that we took over, and we know the children have never been rocked in a rocking chair of any kind, and we feel like, you know, a mother's touch is something that they've never had, and not that they're not getting love, but that kind of a touch is totally different. So we took some rocking chairs over, and we rocked the children. We read stories to them. We rocked them. Sometimes they fall asleep. Sometimes they just get real comfortable and just like they're real happy. They just don't want to move. And it's been a wonderful thing for them, but also for me. I mean, just being able to rock a child that you know doesn't have a mother and a father is just, it's such a great feeling. You know, it takes me back to when I rocked my own children, but this is even better. It's a lot in so many ways to be able to do that again.
So you mean to tell me you're not going over there and feeding 20,000 children? You mean you're not over there building great hospitals and schools? You mean somebody could go over with a rocking chair and rock a child and make a significant contribution? Is this what you're telling us?
Yes, I am.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. They're so happy that you're there.
Mm-hmm.
And you just you kind of feed off of that. They're happy
mm-hmm.
to see you. They're happy
mm-hmm.
to hug you. I took selfies with some of the children, and they were just so happy to take these selfies.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the little things, but
mm-hmm.
it doesn't matter. You know, if you're willing, as long as you're willing and you want to do this, whoa,
mm-hmm.
wow, what a feeling it is. It's just wonderful.
Yeah. And I have it by good inside information that you also did a little singing to the children while you were there. Is this an accurate statement? did I hear properly?
Yeah, I guess you did. Yes, we did sing. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's
yeah,
probably on video somewhere, I'm sure.
Yeah, right. Well, yeah, it'll be viral by tomorrow. I'm going to have it on Facebook.
That's what I'm afraid of.
But, you know, my point is, I mean, people think they've got to, you know, I don't have anything to give. And
mm-hmm.
and even when you had four rocking chairs over there, you gave some of them away. Did you tell about the Karen Academy, who you gave the rocking chair to?
We gave the rocking chair to, was she one of the teachers or is she a?
Yeah, she was. I'm not sure if she was just an assistant or a teacher, but talk to the young man that we saw there he was going to use the rocking chair.
Yes, he was going to use the rocking chair. The little boy that was sick.
Right.
He was sick and coughing and just you knew he didn't feel well, but he
mm-hmm.
wanted to sit in the rocking chair. And so we did. We rocked him, and he was very happy. And so we left it there with him because
mm-hmm.
I thought if anybody gets a chance to rock him, he's just going to enjoy that so much.
Right.
And
right.
And it's a little thing. It's a little thing, but
mm-hmm.
but they just are so happy about it.
Yeah, yeah. And it's you have to be there. If you're not there, you
mm-hmm.
can't make that connection of the sick little boy, who I think had some other challenges too, and I think the rocking chair was very comforting to him. And so you and Karen looked up and said, we want to leave one of these four rocking chairs here. And because
mm-hmm.
Rocking chair is no big deal to us, but most of them had never seen a rocking chair, had they?
No, not at all. They had no idea what it was. They were kind of... they looked at it and they, you know, they
mm-hmm.
felt it and pushed it and,
mm-hmm.
and it
mm-hmm.
was like, what is this? You know? And then when
mm-hmm.
they realized what it was, they were happy with it. So
yeah,
they have never, I'm sure they've never seen one.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you want to go back?
I'd love to go back.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to go back, but I also would love to send youth over.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to, help someone get over there and experience what I have.
Mm-hmm.
All I know is that Kenya is in my heart. The people over there are in my heart. And if I don't go back, they're still part of me. And that
mm-hmm.
doesn't end. And thanks to
yeah.
social media, you know, you can connect with people there. And
mm-hmm.
I think that's just amazing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, being a baby boomer, we never had computers or social
mm-hmm.
media. So to be able to connect with someone in another country is just wonderful.
Yeah, it is. And you, Karen, and all the team have done a great job. And I'm going to go ahead and put you on hold now, but don't go away because
okay.
I want to bring you back on. And I want to
bring
Joel Gray on, who is now the ABB Executive Director. Joel, are you there? Welcome to Wake Up to Purpose.
Hey, Dr. Stanko. Thanks for having me.
Hi. How you doing today?
I'm well. I was going to go outside and enjoy the weather, but the rain's starting to come, so who knows?
Yeah. Yeah, this we couldn't expect a whole sunny day. I mean, gosh, and now there's a freeze warning for day after tomorrow again. But anyway, Joel, tell our listeners a little bit, not about Africa Book Bags yet. Tell us a little bit about Joel Gray and who you are and where you work and where you've gone to school, and then we'll talk a little bit about Kenya. But start off by telling us about you. Did I lose you? I must have lost you. Oh, the call has dropped, so we will just wait and see if he comes back. I'm going to just go ahead and get out of there, and I'll bring Janet back on. This is why we have two guests this time. Janet, you have to do emergency duty. who knows?
Sure,
he could have lost connection or whatever, but he'll call back, and that happens every now and then. Again, it's the issue of call in for phones. There he is back. So, Jim, let me ask you a question just while I have you anyway. I'm really putting you on the spot. And beyond Kenya, having started a nonprofit, what's been your greatest lesson? What have you learned that maybe surprised you, good or not so good?
Probably that I thought it was a lot harder than it was. Not that it wasn't difficult,
mm-hmm.
but I expected a lot more difficulty,
mm-hmm.
and just tremendous barriers and things like that
mm-hmm.
to even get started. But it
mm-hmm.
wasn't that way.
Yeah, the paperwork and everything is more streamlined and simple, and
yes.
and to get it up and running and keep it up and running is really very basic, isn't it?
It is. It is.
Yeah, yeah. So, okay, let me put you back on hold, and let me now go back to Joel. You there? You back?
Yeah, sorry about that.
Not a problem. So tell our listeners a little bit about Joel Gray.
Pittsburgh native, currently reside in the north side of Pittsburgh. Always had a passion for traveling the world. My dad has done ministry across the world. He's also done business across the world. So I've always heard stories about doing international work. And so that's always given me a bug. And so when I heard of Africa Book Bags and I've heard of what you do, Dr. Stanko, over in Kenya and throughout the continent over there, it just put a really excitement in me. And, today I'm just happy to serve alongside the ministry.
Yeah, what's your employment? Where are you working now?
So I'm the manager of community outreach for the Pittsburgh Pirates. So basically it's my job to help our brand stay active in the community, both on and off the field.
Mm-hmm. And what kind of stuff do you do?
Yeah, so, now with the COVID response, we do different service projects. So tomorrow we'll be at Light of Life on the north side, giving out dinners to people in need. We're adjusting there, but on a quote-unquote normal day, it's bringing people to the ballpark that has never had the opportunity to come. It's creating those special opportunities for fans to meet our players and coaches. It's creating new programs to make a difference in the community, whether that be through reading or through youth baseball, softball. So it's just really just keeping an ear to the community, meeting with them, going to meet with them and coming back internally and figure out ways to get connected and use our brand to make a difference.
And so, but while you were working for the Pirates, and how many years ago was it that you went to Kenya with the team?
I believe it's 2015, either 2015, 2016. So.
Yeah, so
I can't remember exactly which
ago.
One, but
listen,
right, yeah.
You get as old as Janet and I, it becomes a bigger challenge.
Look, I might be young, but my time is still ticking. Everybody's time ticks as soon as you pop up.
We all are. That's right. The clock is ticking for all of us. The scoreboard is running down. So talk to us about the decision. As you see, you always had the itch to go. A lot of people have the itch to go. Why was it the right time for you to go, and why did you decide on this trip? And then talk to us about your experience in Kenya.
Yeah, most definitely. So I used to fellowship with a church called Rapha Ministries in Homewood on Upland Street. Pastor Jeremiah. He's basically like an uncle to me. And he had joined the mission trip of Purpose Quest a few times, mm-hmm. led by you, Dr. Stanko. And he used to come back and tell his stories. And leading up to that, we would help him fundraise. So, you know, that got me excited some more to kind of learn more about mission trips and what does that mean for me. You know, I never really thought of doing one. So when I started hearing of that one, I was curious. Mm-hmm. And then Uncle Jerry came to me one day and he's like, "Hey, I know some nice ladies that would really like possibly to send you to Kenya." I'm like, "What?" And so I got on the phone with Karen Bailey, and I remember the conversation. It was just like stars were aligning for me. Because uh-huh. not only did my dad always do, you know, international business and teach us about that, but if you ever see my face, there's a birthmark on my right side of my face next to my eye that resembles to me the continent of Africa and Madagascar. Uh-huh. So uh-huh. I've always, you know, sought God, like, why smack this on my face? Again, it was just like, is this the opportunity? And then when I met with the ladies, I met with the team, they were very excited to offer me the opportunity, and I said yes, and, you know, they definitely made a nice contribution, and then I also worked on doing some fundraising myself, and, you know, it was just like I was fresh out of school. I was still doing part-time work during my jobs, but I was just now transitioning into full-time work, and the beautiful thing about it is that you know, when I needed to hear the right yeses, it all came together. So my family had my support. That's number one, was supporting me. And then I went to my boss and I said, "Hey, I'm trying to go to Kenya. You know, there's an opportunity." And they said yes. And then on top of that, they said I didn't have to take off work and that they were actually going to send me stuff. So it was just like, wow, look at God. He's just doing a big splash. So, yeah, that's how I came to the decision. Like, yes, let's go to Kenya.
Yeah. So tell us, if you're just tuning in, we're talking to Joel Gray, who's now the executive director of Africa Book Bags, in addition to working in the community relations with the Pittsburgh Pirates. But what was it like? What was the experience like going to Kenya?
I would encourage anybody that has a bug in them to make a difference. All you got to do is say yes and be a servant. And that's kind of like the approach I went on this trip. As soon as I got off the plane, I felt at home. And I knew from that moment on, I wasn't there for the fanfare. I wasn't there for anything. I just wanted to sit with the people, sit on the ground, get in the dirt, you know, and really just show these, especially the youth. I think my heart is, I have a youth, a heart for the youth. So any kid that I saw, they might not show a smile, but as soon as you crack a smile at them, you just see beautiful pearly whites look back at you and it was just so awesome to just spend time with them and have them ask me questions. I asked them questions and really challenged them to look at the beauty that they have there. I mean, the land itself. I mean, I haven't seen a TV show that kind of depicts Africa the way it should be. I think people just have to go and see it for themselves. Yes, you'll see crazy things that you'll never see in America, but then you'll also see beautiful things that you'll never see in America. So just my time there was lovely, and I loved how close-knit our team was and how Dr. Stanko, how you would lead different Bible classes. It really allowed us time to get out of our comfort zones and have God show us a new perspective on life, and that was, like, one of the biggest takeaways from the trip there.
Yeah. And so then, and we're really jumping around, but you come home and your role continued. You continued to be involved with Africa Book Bags. Tell us a little bit about that and what your role is today.
Yeah, visiting the trip. Visiting Kenya and going on a trip, it really showed me that I do have purpose over there. And I like to tell people a piece of me is still in Kenya. When I came home, you know, I just was so grateful to Karen and Janet for the opportunity that I just felt like, hey, anything I can do in my power and my network that I have, you know, let me know and, you know, I can help out. So we would meet periodically. And then in 2018, you know, the group pulled me together and they asked if I wanted to be the director. Now, around that time, you know, I'm a young kid still, with a full-time job, and I would never have thought that opportunity presented itself, but it didn't take much reflection with God for me to understand that, you know, if he's calling me to do this, that all I got to do is surrender and have him coach me up on how to direct the squad. So I basically asked them, before I accept this, can I just give you a pitch of what I would do with Africa Book Bags? And they agreed to that. And after the pitch, you know, they were like, yes. The answer is still yes. So been blessed to direct us since 2018. But one of the main goals that I really wanted to do coming on as a director is get us connected to the Pittsburgh community. I think that's very important because, yes, there's stuff abroad that we need to serve, but in order for us to, you know, make a huge difference, I think we need to build up our community and empower kids here to think outside their box and outside their comfort zone, because that's basically what mission trips do. They take you outside of your box and your comfort zone, and they show you how you can make a difference. That's what we've worked diligently on. And recently we brought on a good friend of mine, a Kenya-born native, Richard Najenga. So I'm happy to have him on board. He's very techie and very into innovative ways to raise money. So, again, just piecing together various things, taking that vision that Karen and Janet had in 2014 after coming home from Kenya, and figuring out ways to navigate that nowadays.
So how you've carried out some of your vision for connecting with the youth here. Talk to us about what you've done and some of the things you've done during the this sheltering in place, this season of pandemic.
Yeah, so in my job, I'm with the Pirates. I'm blessed to meet a lot of people in the community. Hearing about various nonprofits such as I'm probably going to butcher the name, I'm Java Connective, also the Pittsburgh Project. There's a Christian school called Cornerstone Prep in Keysport. But just knowing about these various ministries or community groups that serve youth, you know, I thought that if God allowed the opportunity to tell them about Africa Book Bags, and for each one of those groups, as soon as I told them about what I do beyond the Pirates, they said, yes, Joel, you know, let's collaborate. So we've done something with the Pittsburgh Project, which is a nonprofit ministry in the north side of Pittsburgh, where we spent a whole month, once a week for a whole month, going there and meeting with the youth during their after-school program to teach them about Kenya, you know, the cultural differences, teaching them Swahili songs. We even allowed them to taste some African cuisine, and then also empowered them to make an art project that Karen and Janet took with them on, when they visited Kenya in February. So that's just one example there. But as we turn with COVID-19 coming out of nowhere, we thought it'd be very important to continue to make that difference, knowing that there's families in need here in the city of Pittsburgh. We visited with a few families from that are affiliated with the Pittsburgh Project. So we bought some non-perishable foods and some other PPE equipment and products, and took it to them. And Richard and I went there, of course, practicing social distancing, and prayed with the families and just sat with them and heard how are they dealing with COVID-19 and the stay-at-home mandate. So those are both just small projects that I think made a really beautiful impact, empowering the youth as well as their families and uniting through God.
And so where do you hope to take that? What would you hope that would become post-pandemic? Let's assume we can get back to, you know, something, you know, similar to what we had before the pandemic. And what do you hope to see that become?
Yeah, I would say three things. One, I would love to get back to Kenya the next trip that we take over there, simply because, you know, to get a refresher and to get, you know, what's happening right now. I think the world changes so quickly. The second thing is, you know, continue to build off these relationships we've established with these nonprofits in Pittsburgh to figure out, is there service projects that we can coordinate on? Is there ways that they can help us fundraise? To, again, continue to educate their students to look within that, hey, yeah, you might come from a rough startup, but, you know, there's a diamond in that rough, you know, and let's dig that thing out and really set you on your feet to understand you can be a difference both in your community and abroad. And then I would say third, to go over to Kenya and have those type of personal one-on-one visits. I know that we go visit church groups and things like that, but work with those partners to find out, hey, is there a specific family that we can go visit and grow a little bit more with, you know, and spend that same quality time that we did in this time with those families over there, that close-knit thing. So those are just a few. Another thing is, how can we use technology moving forward? I was reading one of your posts the other day about incorporating technology into ministry, and I think there's a lot of opportunity for that post-COVID-19, even with people in Kenya and both here in America. So just figuring out ways that, hey, do we do check-ins? Do we do, like, mentoring sessions? Do we do, you know, Bible readings with youth? Again, with the focus on, hey, what does the youth of today need to help lead the world in a better place?
Yeah. Yeah, and I, you know, I've talked to my daughter-in-law, and I'm going to give her your number, if that's okay, so she can get in touch with you, and we can follow through, because I want to go ahead and bring Janet, so all three of us will be on together, because I also serve on the board of Africa Book Bags. It's been my privilege to be there from the beginning, and I've seen Joel, when you were in Kenya, you were a rock star. I mean, the youth loved you. You could do no wrong, and you didn't do any wrong. So it was just so good. And Janet, I've watched you every time, and I've seen you come alive. So one of the questions that we've had is, you know, where do we go from here? And you've both shared, you know, some of your thoughts and your ideas, and they're more than thoughts and ideas. They're the mission of the organization. But I also over Purpose Quest International, who sponsors the trips that you've been on, and I have I've inherited a school that Dr. Stanko Academy, which I did not ask for, did not request that it be named after me, but be it as it may, I feel like God, in a way, I don't want to say tricked me, but he certainly did inform me of this. And so what we're looking at now is we're having to, you've both been there. I don't think, Joel, you've been to the new facility. Janet, you have. So I've invited Africa Book Bags to partner with Purpose Quest International, and that we drill down a little more deeply at the Dr. Stanko Academy. And I've been hesitant to do that. We have other partners, and I'm not slighting those other partners, but We've got our orphans in bunk beds living in the classrooms at the academy, and so their lease is up in a year, and so we've got to do something. So I've invited Africa Book Bags, who obviously we know one another, we love one another, we work together, and I've invited them to partner with me, and they have agreed in this project. Janet, I'd be interested to hear from you. You know, what does that mean to you? What does it signify? What can you tell our listeners about, you know, the Dr. Stanko Academy? How does this fit in with, you know, some of what Africa Book Bags, you envisioned it to be? Just talk to us for a minute about that.
Well, it really expands. You know, it expands the whole purpose of Africa Book Bags in mm-hmm. just partnering with you. It really mm-hmm. does. It's part of the vision that I've had, you know, to grow, to do more, to help more. And it's I see the kids in their bunk beds in the classrooms, mm-hmm. and we know that they're going to be moving. But even that is something that it's hard to see, but the kids mm-hmm. are very proud of their bed or whatever. And so being a part of that, just helping them and helping them to grow and helping helping the orphanage itself to grow and mm-hmm. helping them move. It's going to be a big undertaking, I'm sure, but whatever we can do in partnering with you would be, I think, just fantastic. It's the mission. It's the mission, mm-hmm. and it two are better than one as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, very good. Joel?
Yeah, I think that it's God's timing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, you didn't know that this was coming down the pipeline. So just really think that it's just being obedient and understanding that, you know, this is that avenue. Maybe God wants us to make that difference in Paco. And because there's a few diamonds in that rough there, you know, that we can really
mm-hmm.
support. So I'm excited to, like I said, possibly set up, do we do video chats with these youth every now and then?
Mm-hmm.
Or do we find out one of the youth need help getting to that next level of school and really push for that? Or is it when I go over, do we help them build out that school? So I'm just excited, and it's an honor that it's under, you know, an organization that dubs your name, even though you had nothing to do with that, God did.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
I think it's beautiful.
Yeah, and one of the things we've talked about, Joel, was the schools or the youth that you that Africa Book Bags is engaging here in the United States. This will give us more
mm-hmm.
of a focus where that's kind of our sister project, you know, for Africa Book Bags.
Mm-hmm.
So if the youth want to have pen pals, you know, our first
right.
place we go is to the Dr. Stanko Academy. If they want to raise a little bit of money for
mm-hmm.
something that the school may need, then they can do that. So it really gives us a bit of focus. And one of the things about our trips that you've both experienced is we do visit all of our partners, but we can only spend a day at a time there. What
mm-hmm.
I saw with Janet and Karen going back on a second day was it gave them a chance. The children knew them or recognized them when they came back. They got to know the children. They can get to know the teachers a little bit more closely and see them up close and personal. So it just makes a lot of sense. One of the things also that has emerged is our own sense that we need both an orphanage and a school. We don't need to be combining the two of them. And you both would be interested to know that, you know, out of the blue, somebody contacted me and said, you know, I just want to make a five-figure contribution to the work that you're doing. And when I talked about the project for Dr. Stanko Academy, they said, oh, by all means. Yeah, by all means, you go ahead and use that. So I said, Lord. You know, praise God, but I can't back out. And so we're looking at probably having to raise about $50,000 to do both the orphanage and the school. And yeah, mm-hmm. I feel the same way, Janet. And, but God is able. And I felt the Lord
mm-hmm.
say at the beginning of the pandemic that there's never been a better time to raise money. And I've talked to, and we talked to Irene on Tuesday. She said her business in Kenya has exploded. I had somebody on yesterday, a woman in North Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Her business has exploded. So God's not limited. And but it gives me great confidence to be able to face all of this with associates like you, people who have been there, who have seen the work, who believe in what God is doing there, that you believe in our presence. And so we wanted to use this platform to announce that, and ABB, as we affectionately refer to it, and Purpose Quest International will be partnering. Janet, any final words, any further thoughts on that?
Just very excited about it. I think it's going to be just very blessed. I know that God is in it,
mm-hmm.
and I know that He's leading the way, and I know that we can do this. $50,000
mm-hmm.
is nothing to Him, so
mm-hmm.
it's just an exciting time for Africa Book Bags. It's an exciting
mm-hmm.
time, period. Especially now during the pandemic, it's exciting to look at the future and see what it's going to do. So, and they're
mm-hmm.
dealing with that in Kenya as well. So,
Amen.
Not to the extent the United States is, but then again,
mm-hmm.
they have different needs.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, this is going to be a very exciting time.
Yeah. Yeah. Joel.
Yeah, I would say, you know, when I got the word of going over here on a mission trip, I didn't have much money, but my yes and my obedience is what made the opportunity come about. So I agree with all you guys that 50K is nothing to God. You know, he's got to be impossible. And I'm even happy to acknowledge that, you know, that Giving Tuesday was on Tuesday, Giving Tuesday now. So we had a little campaign going on in social media. And I'm happy to say that we raised a little bit over $500, but, you know, we're
wow.
still receiving donations. They're still coming in. And if you would like to know more about that, you can like us on Facebook at AB Bags with a Z. We're also on Instagram at Africa Book Bags with a Z. And then we recently launched a website. Richard
uh-huh.
helped us really construct a website, AfricaBookBagsWithAZ.org. Again,
uh-huh.
if you visit any of those platforms, you'll learn more of how you can support. But Giving Tuesday
uh-huh.
now, we're looking to close it down, hopefully this weekend. But we thank everybody that has given and supported and follows. And just
uh-huh.
ask that you just share our story and join with us in this ministry.
Yeah, if you go to the page for this show, Africa Book Bags, on the description is in pink, and if you click on that, it will take you right to the website, which, again, we thank Richard for doing. He did a great job, and I need to get on and give something. I didn't do it, so my sins have found me out, and so I have to publicly repent. But Janet, Joel, thank you for your friendship. Thanks. It's great to be comrades and arms in this common cause of purpose and Africa Book Bags, and appreciate your time today, and I'll certainly keep you posted, and we'll see this victory through together.
Amen.
Thank you,
you,
Dr. John. Appreciate you.
All right. God bless you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Take care.
God bless. Bye-bye.
All right. There we had Joel Gray, Executive Director of Africa Book Bags, and Janet Handsome, the board member and founder, along with Karen Bailey, who is no longer on the board. But very special organization, Africa Book Bags with a Z, one word, .org for the website. And so we'll be talking more about the partnership. We'll be talking more about Dr. Stanko Academy in the coming days. And, you know, I always like to use the phrase drive a stake in the ground, and I never knew what that meant, and I looked it up, and it was a Native American technique in war that they would, the warriors, they would put a stake out, they would tie the warrior's ankle with a rope to that stake, and that meant they weren't going anywhere. They had to hold their ground and fight their fight and win their battle. And in some ways, what we've talked about today, we're driving a stake in the ground, and there's no turning back. And but God is with us, and we are confident in Him. Tomorrow, I'm going to have Ola Jackson on, the founder of the Onyx Woman Network, and she had a significant celebration, a milestone in her life, as the clock is ticking on, the scoreboard is ticking in her life, and she'll tell us about that tomorrow. But this is John Stanko, your host for Wake Up to Purpose, and again, thanking Janet Handsome, Joel Gray, for their time, for their commitment to the Lord and to Kenya, and thanking you for listening. Until we're together tomorrow, you be about the work of purpose in your life, and I'll be back to check on you tomorrow. Until then, so long for now.
Thanks again for listening to Wake Up to Purpose with John Stanko. To get in touch with John, you can go to www.purposequest.com or write him at johnstanko@gmail.com.